everybody, and welcome to the DestroProduct.com anime and manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today, it is brought to you by... Who's it brought to us by today? Busted Tees. They have funny t-shirts. Click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site for Busted Tees and go pick some up. And I'm pretty sure this promo code thing happening right now. Whatever. Fuck it. Yeah, so, while we don't have as many awesome shirts or funny shirts as Busted Tees does, we do have our own shirts. So go to DestroProduct.com/store and check some of them out. If you have a shirt design idea that you think we would like and you want to make money, then please send it to bovey1@DestroProduct.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we see it and we like it, we'll make a shirt out of it and pay you based on how well that shirt sells. Priority will be given to shirts based on Destro Prods, like jokes and references and shit, but if you just have a shirt you think we would like, then please don't hesitate to send it to us. Or if you don't feel like buying anything, but just feel like donating to help children, then go to DestroProduct.com/extralife, that's all one word, and donate. We're trying to raise $1,000 to help Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and all proceeds donated go directly to those hospitals, and all donations are tax deductible. So yes, DestroProduct.com/extralife, that's all one word. Please visit the page and donate, or join the team and help us raise money. I'm your host, The Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bovey1.
Hello.
Pudge is off camping.
Yay, camping.
Yeah, camping in the Maritimes at that. So he goes down there and he's like, oh, it's like, hey man, you have Wi-Fi connection? He's like, oh, what's the internet, don't you know? It's like, Lord, Tundra and Jesus boy, what's the internet you're talking about? Here, have some rum.
So just out of curiosity, is this like camping or trailer camping?
I'm pretty sure it's camping-ass camping.
All right.
Yeah, fuck, I hate camping.
I love it.
Nature does not agree with me.
That's to be expected, you're a human being.
we're here to talk about some anime and manga. So, Bovey, what have you been reading and or watching?
Well, other than my usual, I've been watching a bunch of Fairy Tale.
Why did you start talking like a wee toy?
Sorry for the on-talking. Other than my usual watching a bunch of Fairy Tale, I've got one series.
Okay, what was it?
Elfenlied.
Elfenlied. I've heard of that. I haven't actually watched it before.
Okay, here's the basic premise. There's this organization, probably related to the SCP Foundation.
Probably.
That contains a different form of humans called Declonius, or something like that.
Okay.
And basically, they're notable by the fact that they sprout horns on their head that really look more like cat ears.
Okay.
And they're able to manipulate things called vectors, which is basically a form of telekinesis, only they're limited physical arms. And so the series starts out with a containment breach.
Get it?
Of the most pure and powerful Declonius, Lucy. And her vectors have a radius of 2 meters. So basically you can't be actually touched by her vectors or her telekinesis abilities, basically, unless you're within 2 meters of her. But she can whip things at you from really far away.
Yeah, like, when you just said, like, you can only think, like, they have weird arm things that come out of them, I'm only thinking of, like, the darkness of just, like, grabbing a pipe and chucking at somebody.
It's very similar, only there'd be more arms.
Okay. Well, you can have as many arms as you want. Like, the game only has 2 because it's, you know, for simplicity's sake.
Yeah. I think Lucy does have a limit, but I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
And anyways, as we see her breaking out, we learn that she's a heartless bitch. Because, like, she's decapitating and dismembering guards and everything. But then she comes up to this one hallway, and there's a line of armed guards standing there just outside of her range. And then some bumbling secretary stumbles by. A bumbling secretary that the anime creators have been, kind enough to give us a little bit of character development on, a tiny bit, but not much. We know that she's clumsy and she's always trying to please the director.
Oh, I bet she is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Mr. Ender, here's a coffee. Whoa!
And Lucy is kind enough to place her hand on this woman's shoulder before ripping her fucking head off.
Oh, nice.
Well, not her hand, one of the vector hands. Okay. You just see the bloody print appear on her shoulder, and it's like, oh, shit. Head gone.
Is it just like a spraying tower of blood coming out of the stump?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's the goodness. I always love it when, like, these anime get, like, the Kill Bill level of blood.
And, yeah, the only person she leaves alive is the one person who probably deserves to be killed. The director. But yeah, as she's leaving, she gets shot in the head. It's not enough to kill her because she's wearing this weird helmet thing.
Okay.
But it does give her complete amnesia.
What?
So she washes up on a beach completely naked. By the way, that's how she did her entire escape, too, was completely naked.
Okay.
Except for the weird helmet thing. So she comes onto the shore, comes across these like high school or college students, I believe they are actually. They're college students.
Mm-hmm.
And they take her in. Only she can't talk. All she can say is new.
Okay. I guess that fits with cat ears.
Yeah.
It's very kimono mimi.
So then, as the series progresses, basically, she develops two personalities. There's New and Lucy. Lucy will pretty much kill everything. Okay. Except she's sort of learning to have some level of compassion. Some.
Very minimal. Very minimal.
I will tell you this, spoiler alert, she won't murder a puppy.
Well, good. Well, now she is a likable character. If she murdered a dog, I would just be like, fuck this bitch.
And yeah, I say spoiler alert because there's a scene where they really make you think she's about to murder a puppy.
Yeah, so I just looked up an image of it, and I actually have seen some of the show before, but it was in AMV Hell.
Right.
Yeah, I saw a bit where, like, she just... Where just like Lucy before she like got amnesia, she's still in the facility. It's like I keep people's head exploding in my mind, and all of a sudden some guy just standing under her, his head just rolls off backwards, and then blood just starts spraying out of him.
Yeah, there's some pretty intense kill scenes in this anime.
Yeah, and I've seen some of them. Like there was one on like a, I think it was a subway train.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Where just, like,
I've only watched up to episode 5.
Yeah, like one of the kids with him just grabs her, so, like, shaking her, was like, what the fuck are you doing? And it was synced up to llamas with hats. And it played well.
I'm sure it would.
So yeah, you said that was it for you?
Yeah, but I didn't quite finish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Lucy, you know, she kills shit. New is, like, adorable and innocent, and knows nothing of, well, anything. But yeah, she's, like, adorable and innocent and, like, trying to be, you know, happy and live peacefully together with these two college students, although she can't really talk. I think by episode 5, she's learned how to say two things, yes, and the main character's name.
Okay.
Just that.
Yeah. Well, that would be a bad thing. Like, yeah, just if someone else like has your name, and then someone else has the guy's name, and it's like, hey, baby, you want to do it? And then says the only two words she knows. Yeah, sorry, that was a terrible joke. Moving on. I am an idiot today. So, yeah. Anything else, Bobby, on the show?
No, that's about it. It is an interesting series, both mixing the slice of life of living with a cat-eared girl who can't speak, and also, you know, horrible, horrible death.
Yeah.
I'm going to say in each episode you get at least one good murder scene.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound cool. Okay, so I guess on to me then. So, I've been reading this thing the entire time we've been doing this podcast, but I felt like I should mention it today. Fairy Tail. So we are into the... So we are getting like deep into like the Magic tournament that's happening.
And, ooh, a Magic tournament. Sounds cool.
Yeah. And we now have... We now have like Dragon Slayer versus Dragon Slayer. In that it's Gajeel and Natsu versus the two evil Dragon Slayers who kill their dragon parents. Yeah, it's like in a Sabretooth, this rival thing. So, yeah, like, Fairy Tail, like, disappeared for a while. Like, disappeared for like 7 years, and the guild, like, fell to the bottom. And so the new guild at the top is Sabretooth. And so in this guild, they have two Dragon Slayers, one who controls light and one who controls dark. And so they've just been like purposely goading Natsu and Gajeel, like Natsu specifically, because yeah, like they've been like flaunting the fact that they killed their dragon parents, and Natsu just can't believe that. And so we actually get to see them fight, and like the power difference between Fairy Tail and Sabretooth is insane.
Sorry, which way is the scale tipped?
Fairy Tail, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like. So it's like the two guys, they like unleash their like most powerful, some of their most powerful attacks. Natsu and Gajeel stop him with one hand.
Nice.
Yeah, like the one guy, he like powers up his light charge. He's like goes to deliver like a dragon god attack or something. And it's just like, huh. Puts up one hand, pushes it out of the way, and then punches him the fuck out. But then they also manage to activate like the next tier of Dragon Slayer magic. Like, Dragon Slayer is powerful, but then, like, they have, like, the next step up, which is even, it's, like, 10 times more powerful than Dragon Slayer.
Okay.
Or something. Like, it is, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it is really cool. Just the fact that, you know, Natsu and Gajeel are already, like, retardedly strong, so just imagine how much stronger they can become if they unlock this next tier. Yeah. And even now, like, they... Like I said, they can like already stop these guys' most powerful attacks with just their own hands. Oh yeah, so it's called Dragon Force. So I'm guessing at one point they learned Power Metal. But yeah, so.
Well, at least Gajeel would.
Yeah, start playing Through the Fire and the Flames. I think Natsu would be good at Power Metal. Like, he has, like, the fucking just va for it.
Yeah, then again, you know, Gajeel, he does the shubidi-wa.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, one of the guys is named Sting, the light one. But yeah, so they have unlocked Dragon Force, and I'm guessing that throughout this fight, like, Gajeel and Natsu will start getting their ass kicked, but then they'll unlock Dragon Force. Because, like, as soon as it's activated, everyone is freaking the fuck out. Like Makarov is like, oh god, what's happening? Mystagon, like, can't believe that they activated it of their own will, as he said. And, like, the text for the first, Fairy Tail Masters text is just... I've seen it a lot in horror manga.
Oh, okay.
It's like, Dragon Force? And there's even an ellipsis before the question mark. So you know she's fucking serious. So yeah, Fairy Tail, I can't wait for next week's chapter. Or this week's chapter, I guess. It's gonna be fucking dope. So yeah, and moving on, I guess, to Ratman. There's some stuff happening in that. So this does get a bit spoilery for the last couple pages of the most recent chapter of Ratman. So just putting that out there. But it turns out... So in some of the recent chapters, it's been revealed that Ratman is actually built on S genes, which is the genetic material left behind by Shining Man, the world's most powerful superhero. Ratman has the genes in him, and he can actually activate them from time to time to like, use Shining Man's abilities. But it turns out that S genes are actually really dangerous. Like it's kind of like unspecified way, but like just before the chapter end, what's Ratman's real name? Is like Makoto or something?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So Ratman went not in Ratman. I forget. Yeah, I cannot remember his name for the life of me. Fuck. So anyway, that kid, he is just like walking around school one day, and all of a sudden he just like can't breathe and just collapses. And so it's hinted at that it's implied that what's happening to him is that the S genes are like destroying him or something, because I guess he's not powerful enough to handle them. But yeah, it's interesting. It adds something to this series that I'm actually really into. It's like, up till now, S-Man had just been like this all-powerful being who like everyone loves and is adored by all and shit. And now we were learning something new about him, which may be a bit more sinister than initially intended for Shining Man. And I'm guessing at one point it's going to like lead up to Ratman fighting Shining Man. And I'm really looking forward to that, because Shining Man is like the reason that the kid wants to become a superhero. Like, he was rescued by Shining Man one day, and then he's just like, I'm going to be a hero like Shining Man. So yeah, it's going to be cool seeing how this all unfolds. And his name's Shuto. So yeah, moving on to some new series. So, Noragami. So I think this series is only 2 chapters in now. But so, in this world, everywhere in the world, there is a phone number. Just, like, scribbled everywhere. No one, normally, people can't see it. But when someone is troubled by something, then they can see it. And when they call it, God shows up. But it's not the God you know. It is a Japanese kid in a leather jacket.
I don't care if God is the Japanese kid in a leather jacket, Morgan Freeman, yes, whoever. If I can make him show up on cue, good.
Well, yeah, so he just kind of shows up, but it turns out he's not actually God. He is a lesser God. So his name's Yato, and what he's doing is he's trying to like get people to start worshiping him, so he can one day get a shrine, because he is a shrineless god. So yeah, he's just been going around like writing his phone number and spray painting it everywhere, and anytime anyone's troubled, they call that number, and then he shows up and helps them. Usually helping them means destroying a giant monster. Because yeah, when people get in trouble or something, they summon giant monsters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like I said, the series is only two chapters in, so I don't exactly have a good handle on it, but I'm kind of enjoying it. Like, Yato is, who's the god, is an idiot. Like, he's really stupid. But he is entertaining. Like, he's really overzealous about everything. Like, the first time someone calls him, he's like, hello? Yay, someone fucking called me! Yo, bitch, get over here, we got a fucking customer! I'm paraphrasing here, of course.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so the girl who called him from a toilet. And so then she's like, can you help me? And then you just hear from both, like, of course I can help you. And then you just see him, like, standing on top of, like, the stall of the toilet, like, looking down at her, like, hey, how's it going? I'm God. And then his servant who was with him was like, Yato, you're kind of crushing my shoulder right here. It's funny. And it... I know how this series is going to go. It's going to be like Yato, it's going to focus on Yato, and then, like, go from person to person with him dealing with their problems.
By fighting giant monsters.
Yes, but it's going to be weird how he does that now, because in the second chapter, his weapon left him. It kind of is like a Soul Eater thing, where he has like a person who comes with him, and he makes them into a weapon. But in the second chapter, he found a person who could possibly be his new weapon. So I guess I'll have to wait for the third chapter to see how that like all works out. But yeah, Noragami, it's new series, and I kind of dig it. So, moving on to another new series, Takamagahara. So, in the world of Takamagahara, every single person on the planet has a superpower. Like, they all have some special ability that's, like, mystical and shit, but they don't know what their power is. Like, no one is aware they actually have powers until they figure out what their power is.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're called, like, divine powers, like, godly powers or something. And so the series focuses on this kid named Yamato, who is the middle child in a family that is obsessed with fighting. Like, the first time we're introduced to him, we meet his four brothers, and they're all punching a punching bag saying how they just fought somebody. Like, even the kid who's in third grade, he's just, like, punching a punching bag. He's like, today I beat up an upperclassman. Now I'm the most strongest kid in third grade. And they're all fighting, but it, like, goes down in, like, list of, like, age range. So you start with oldest, who's just punching a punching bag, saying how he was, like, working his way up, like, the world, like, the world-class fighting league or something. Then you know, the guy saying he beat up somebody in high school. But then the middle, you get to the middle of punching bag, you just see scribbling. Just says scribble, scribble, scribble. Because it turns out Yamato doesn't actually want anything to do with fighting. He wants to draw manga, but he's terrible. Like, his manga is so bad, it actually makes people physically ill.
Physically ill?
Yeah. Like, they read it, and then his brother's like, are you trying to kill us? Like, everyone says, like, your manga's so bad, it's like you're trying to kill me with it. But yeah, so then it eventually is revealed that his power is essentially the god hand. He has, like, super strength, but, like, in order to keep it from, like, breaking his everything, he has to have, like, a giant cast on his wrist at all times. So he's just kind of walking around with, like, a giant fucking gauntlet fist, kind of like Hellboy, only made of bandages.
Okay.
And so, yeah, then he is... So then he's contacted by a group of people who know about all the abilities and, are, like, have a habit of collecting them. Like, either to... So, like, the choices with them, with these people, are either to find people who have abilities and get them to join the organization, or put them in books. The second guy he meets, who has another ability, has the ability to turn people into words and put them into books. But yeah, and so there's also this other kid who we've heard about, but I've actually seen, who has an ability. We don't know what the ability is, but he used it to take over his high school. And so I'm guessing the way the story is going from, like, the synopsis I've read was that Yamato's going to be sent in by the organization to deal with this guy because, you know, a god hand and shit. But yeah, I really like this series. It's... Well, we haven't seen that much of it. We do get... There is, like, the implied future potential of just awesome superpowered battles between people with insane powers. Like, the one guy, the first guy he fought, the guy had permanently regenerating, like, razor-sharp blades inside of his body at all times. So he's able to, like, generate a sword from any part of his body at any given time.
That would be pretty cool, but it sounds like it would also be painful.
No, like, when the blades come out, they don't hurt you.
Then awesome.
You know, like, the first time he activated, like, a guy was beating him up, and then he just was, like, kind of crouching in fear, and then a blade all of a sudden just juts out of his side and impales the guy. And so then he went insane and started killing everyone who was a bully. But yeah, and it's going to be great. Like, the first time we actually see Yamato, like, punch somebody, he punches them, like, across the school. Like, they're on the roof. Like, most Japanese schools, they have, like, the roof thing with, like, the two main buildings and, like, a little adjoining place. So they're on, like, the far side of one of the roofs. The guy, Yamato, just punches the guy, and he goes flying across the gap and lands on the far side of the other building. With one punch, and he wasn't even trying. So, it's going to be cool seeing him actually just fully unleash and, like, just get both hands all bandaged up and just start beating the fuck out of people. And I'm guessing that at some point we're going to learn more about his power. Like, it turns out that he has, like, some secondary power or something, because, you know, he's the main character.
Of course.
But yeah, the series has potential. It's only 5 chapters in, so I'm going to keep reading this. It's really cool. I hope we start getting, like, more insane, giant, like, hero fights, because that's going to be awesome. So yeah, finally, Yamada and the Seven Witches, also known as Yamada Kun To Seven Nin No Majo. So in this one, there's a kid named Yamada, who is, like, a delinquent at his school. Like, he rarely shows up. Whenever he does, he's always late, and he always leaves early. Like, he has terrible grades. And there's also this other girl named Shiraishi, who is the exact opposite. She always shows up, she always stays late, she is, like, top of her class. And then, one day, they accidentally fall down some stairs and switch bodies. Turns out that they have the ability that whenever they kiss, they switch bodies.
Okay.
Yeah, and then... And then, yeah, it's just kind of a romantic comedy thing of slice of life, but with weird superpowers. And it starts getting like more insane because, like, seven witches. There are seven girls at the school who have superpowers. So Shiraishi can switch bodies with people. Then there's Odagiri, who's this other girl who is currently running against someone who is in the club that Yamada's in, trying to like become student council president. And she has the ability to like make anyone who kisses her fall madly in love with her. But we also learn that Yamada has the ability to copy these abilities. So like the only reason he's able to switch bodies with people is because he kissed Shiraishi. So he kisses Shiraishi, then he goes out and kisses somebody else. He's able to switch bodies with them.
Okay.
But if he kisses Odagiri, then anyone he kisses is automatically attracted to him and in love with him. And so they recently found out about like the seven witches rumor, and they know that there are the seven people who have the powers, but they don't know what those powers are. They only know three of the powers. There's copy. So there's like switch, like attraction, and then there's also the power of thought. They're not sure what that one is. Like they found a booklet saying like there's a rumor of the seven witches. They have like one has like the switching place ability. One has the power of thought, and then it's continued in volume two, but they never found the second volume of the notebook. So yeah, it's just kind of all of this happening, and like now the club that he's in are going to try to track down the five other women who have these powers, and also try to figure out what the hell Yamada is, because like he is able to copy all their abilities, but it's at the seven witches, so presumably they're all female, so we're not entirely sure if he's one of the witches or if he is just something else. But yeah, it's a cool series, and you know, it is a romantic comedy. They actually say that it's a, like, the series is like tagged as a body swapping rom com. Yeah, but I like it. It is funny. The romance is in there. Like they're starting to get more of it. Like Shiraishi, before this, she was like very cold. Like she didn't have any friends or anything. But then when she was like started swapping bodies with Yamada, and he was as her, he was able to like get her some friends, and so she's like really starting to like him for it. And you know, they are making out a lot, so there's that too.
It does seem though like it would be a bit troublesome for those two to develop a relationship.
Yeah, it would, because like every time they kiss, they just switch bodies. But yeah, but then the same thing would happen if any relationship happened with Yamada, because anyone he kissed recently, who was one of the witches, he'd automatically have their power. So like if he switched bodies with Shiraishi, but then like she'd go off and start doing that shit, and she'd still have the swapping of powers, and yeah, it'd be that'd be a bad school to have a relationship in.
You think STDs are bad?
Yeah, try getting magical powers out. There is no antibiotic treatment that can treat you for being in the wrong body. Well, yeah. So that's all I've read. So, since Punchatron is not here to help pad this thing out, I guess on to news.
On to news!
Yep, so we only have one piece of news today.
Wait, we didn't do the anime club.
We do news than anime club, don't we?
Oh, we do it that way? I thought we did it the other way around.
No, like anime club is always what they end with.
Okay, yeah, you're right. My bad.
Yeah, so, one piece of news today. Aniplex of America has announced a Blu-ray set for Durarara to come out this fall. So that's going to have episodes 12 and a half and 25, both Japanese and English audio tracks, a poster, and a deluxe booklet with some art or something in it. And it's all going to come packaged in a old-school-style metal Durarara-branded lunchbox.
If I had a Blu-ray player, I would probably buy that, because the individual DVD sets are freaking expensive.
So is this one. It's $150.
Dude, it's like $60 per volume of the series on DVD, and there's three volumes.
Okay, yeah.
I would rather buy the freaking Blu-ray set.
Yeah, fucking anime collections are expensive.
I know, and this is one of the ones I want to actually own. It's one of those ones that I'm like, hey, this is really good. I want to give some money to the creators, so I want to buy it.
Well, yeah, so the, like I said, the thing is $149.48 US, which is apparently considerably cheaper than it was in Japan. So yeah, the Blu-ray set of Durarara will be available on October 30th.
Maybe by then I'll have a Blu-ray player.
Maybe by then I'll have money. You never know. The ODSP people might have come through by then.
I'm saving some money by not going to Fan Expo.
I'm saving some money by not having money. I just got $25 in the mail today, and it went directly to my mom. Because I owe her like $1,000. So yeah, that does it for news. On to Anime Club. So yeah, Bovi, you picked this week's series. What did we watch?
We watched Dusk Maiden of Amnesia.
Okay, so give us a rundown of the show.
It's essentially a mystery / rom-com with a ghost. So basically we've got, I can't remember the main character's name.
Teichi.
Our main character, Teichi, he meets the ghost of the old school whose name is Yuko. Mm-hmm. And, they decide to look into her past. She has complete amnesia. She can't remember what her past is. So they create the Paranormal Investigations Club to look into her past. A couple new members join as we go. And a romance begins between Yuko and Teichi.
Yeah, and I like the romance.
Sorry?
I like the romance that they have going with them, because, like, Teichi, he is, like, I'm pretty sure this is, like, his first kind of romance thing, so he's really embarrassed, but Yuko, she switches between, like, being, like, really forward about it, because, like, since no one's been able to see her, since she's a fucking ghost, like, there are some things that she just kind of has, like, as habit, and then once she realizes, like, oh, wait, you can see me, then she also starts getting embarrassed, and it's actually really cute, I like it.
It's also not so much the, oh, you can see me. It's actually described in the show as, earlier on, she doesn't feel emotions quite the same way we do. But then, as she starts to regain memories and such, she starts to regain emotions. So when it starts out, she doesn't have the feeling of embarrassed. She doesn't understand embarrassed. But then, later on, she starts to understand, and that's when she's like, Teichi, I'm naked, don't come in!
Yeah, but, you know, like, in the first episode, like, well, second episode, I guess. Yeah, like, we see her, like, getting completely naked, and she's, like, just, like, totally cool about it. But then, like, by the fourth episode, she's, like, embarrassed to hold his hand. Yeah, it's a good show. I like it.
Yeah, I definitely liked it too.
One of the things that it does really well is, like, juxtaposing the, like, slice of life rom-com stuff with the really, really creepy stuff, because this is, like, supernatural shit. So, it can get kind of creepy at times. They do creepy pretty well.
Yeah, and often the flip does come pretty easily. But yeah, definitely there's They do both really well. I mean, I was laughing my ass off the first episode, but then some of the episodes, I was just creeped right the fuck out.
Yeah, like, one of them that I'm remembering right now was, it was third episode, I think. We just met Kirie. And so, one thing about this school is that, like, it's so big. Like, it started out like as a one building, and it started adding onto it more and more and more. And so it eventually became, like, a labyrinth with a bunch of, like, horrible rumors about it. Most of them involving Yuko. And so one of the ghost stories was that Yuko was, like, a spirit who died there, and then, like, she was, like, really pissed off about her death, so she like, came back as a ghost and started, like, grabbing people and making them disappear. And so Teichi just found out about this, and then Yuko just shows up, like, her hair is, like, casting a shadow over her eyes, looks really creepy, just starts, like, walking up toward him, is like, oh, God, what's happening? And then she just sneezes. It's like, oh, man, I'm gonna get a cold out here. Just the kind of the instant switch between, like, the really creepy and the really cutesy stuff. I actually really like. And so, like I said, you got more members of the club. You got Kirie, who is Yuko's grandniece, I guess. or whatever. But yeah, so then we also have Okanogi, who is just a girl.
A really dense girl.
Yeah, she can't see the ghost, she can't see Yuko, so, and she's also just really stupid.
As you will see in the first episode, please, please watch the first episode at least.
Yeah. And be sure to watch it with our commentary, which will be going up at the exact same time as this. So yeah, she is just kind of out of the loop on everything. So like, in the one episode that I watched recently, they started playing Old Maid, and so it was Kirie, Teiichi, Yuko, and Okanogi sitting around a table, and then he starts, and like Kirie starts dealing out the cards, but she deals out 4 instead of 3, and then she starts like counting out everyone, and then like Okanogi's just like, wait a minute, there's 4. Oh dear Christ! And starts freaking out, and it just gets to the point where I just feel like they should just tell her.
Yeah, well, there's the one point where she literally figures out everything at once.
Yeah, I only got 4 episodes deep into the show.
Okay, do you mind if I spoil a bit?
Go ahead.
Okay, so there's literally a point where Okanogi goes, wait a second. Yuko's our president. Yuko the ghost is our president. And Teiichi, you're in love with her.
With it just is like a flashback of like her realizing like, oh wait a minute, there's a ghost with us all along. Oh dear God.
No, it's something really small causes her to realize all of this, that Yuko's a real ghost who is the president of our club and Teichi's in love with her.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a canon relationship, by the way.
Yeah, I figured that. They have Okanogi the Okanogi who's interested in Teiichi, like, pretty obviously, and then Kirie who's kind of tsundere about it all. But yeah, it's right off the bat, I knew it was going to be Teiichi and Yuko.
But yeah, I do encourage you to watch the rest of the series, because it really goes in a bit of a strange direction.
Oh, I probably will.
And yeah, I guess I'm not going to spoil too much more for you then.
But yeah, so, like, another thing, just speaking of Okanogi that I really like is, like, sometimes they'll do, like, we'll start doing, like, comparison shots of showing, like, what Okanogi is seeing and what Teiichi and Kirie would be seeing. Like, they had, like, the first episode that we did a commentary for, like, halfway through the episode, it just, like, goes back to the very beginning of the episode and shows it again, but differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the first time we go through, we just see, like, Okanogi just sitting there, redoing stuff, but we then start seeing like objects moving around the room, and like when Teiichi comes in, we start seeing him talking to nothing. But then it goes back halfway through, jumps back to the beginning, and then we just see everything happening, and it's Yuko. She's there messing around with shit, and like talking to Teiichi.
And it's actually what's really interesting in that first episode is to see the other side of the conversation.
Yeah, because like throughout the thing, like Okanogi believes that Teiichi can, like, read her mind. And so she'd always start thinking things, and then Teiichi would say something while in conversation with Yuko, and it would somehow, exactly line up with a correct answer to whatever Okanogi was thinking. And it was just really funny, like, seeing it happen the first time. I was like, oh, wait, what? And then seeing it happen the second time with the ghost there, and just seeing her freaking the fuck out to just, like, a really mundane conversation.
Yeah, I like that series. It's a fun one.
Yeah, and the other point with what I was saying, like, dual thing, was the second episode when, like, Okanogi showed up to, like, the club for the first time, and I was saying, like, oh man, I'm being chased by the ghost, and, like, what's happening, and then you just see them, like, running from the ghost, like, you see what Okanogi is seeing, just, like, this horrible fucking demon thing with glowing red eyes and, like, flamey black hair and shit, and then you see what Teiichi's seeing, which is just Yuko running around in, like, a priestess dress, a little head thing. I'm like, I'm gonna get you guys! Because, like, the people who see Yuko see her as they want to. Like Okanogi believed that she was being hunted by, like, an evil ghost of Yuko because of something she did with, like, a doll and, like, an X-Acto knife and shit. And so that's how she saw Yuko. And Kirie, when she first saw her, she heard of, like, she saw, like, an evil spirit and thought that that was Yuko in her true form. So every time she saw Yuko from then on, she just saw her as, like, this horrible fucking creature thing.
Yes, and the series gets quite interesting with the whole other Yuko thing.
Yeah, because there is a second spirit. An evil one.
Yes, there are two Yukos.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Japanese ring. Because the Japanese ring, there are two Sadakos.
Yeah, I've no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Come on, you've read the Ring manga.
No, I haven't.
It was in our high school library.
That doesn't mean I read it.
You read fucking every piece of manga they had in that library.
No, I didn't. I read all of the Bleach they had.
I read every piece of manga they had like 7 times.
See, I read up to all of the Bleach they had, then I'm like, shit, I gotta start reading this online. And then it was online from then on.
Yeah. I read all the Bleach they had, I read all the Naruto they had, I read fucking Ragnarok. I read every volume of the fucking Ring manga they had, and it got weird, because, like, Sadako, who was a girl who fell down the well, was actually hermaphrodite with fucking tuberculosis or something, and, like, the disease that, like, the Ring thing was actually just a disease that caused you to go insane if you were, like, ovulating when, if you're, like, having your period, what that happened, you got pregnant and gave birth to Sadako. It was weird.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that it gets weird.
Yeah, and then there were, like, two Sadakos, like, an evil one who was, like, expunged, and the good one who, like, lived, but then started seeing insane shit. And yeah, oh, man, it's weird. So, yeah. That was just the end of Amnesia. Just, yeah. It's a great series, kind of like The Ring.
But not as weird, though.
Yeah, not as weird as the Japanese Ring. Oh, but yeah. Wow, this was a short one today.
Well, Pudge isn't here.
Yeah. And you only look at one thing.
I've had an interesting week.
You'll be able to hear about that on the Anything Cast.
Which is already out.
Yep. So yeah, guess we're gonna do it for this week. As always, you can follow the site and Twitter. You can follow us at DestoProds. I am at Denman_DeProds. We got at Bobiwan, and while he's here, you can follow him at Punchatron420. And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell to do with the Pudgetron and Darth Broby Twitter accounts.
I really don't want to maintain two Twitters.
Yeah, are you barely maintaining one Twitter?
Hey, shut up. I tweet some stuff.
I'll see if you guys have an idea for what you want to do with the Pudgetron and Darth Broby Twitter accounts. Please let us know, either in the comments or in the forums. Oh, yeah, we are on Facebook. You can link us in there. Oh, or let us know on Facebook. I never say do stuff on our Facebook. But yeah. We are on iTunes. Please subscribe to us. Leave us some reviews. Let us know when we see more of, less of, etc. On Sunday, on Friday, we're going to be posting the commentary track for Rebuild the Genetic Opera. Then on Sunday at allgames.com, 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live. Please join us and let us know what you think of the show and stuff at allgames.com/chat. On Wednesday, we're going to be having the comic book podcast. On Friday, we're going to be having a movies podcast as well as our commentary for Labyrinth. So yeah. And next week for Anime Club, we're going to be watching Dogs, Bullets, and Carnage. It's a 4-episode OVA. I think it's about an hour long with all 4 episodes. So yeah, be sure to check that out and sure, join us when we start doing that. So yeah, until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobiwan.
We'll see you guys next time.